Had this thought in my mind before, just this phrase, bearing his name, bearing his name. I had that thought and I couldn't get it off my mind. And I was thinking, well, you know, Memorial Weekend was coming up. And, you know, when I sat down to kind of get ready, that's all I could think about that. And I thought, well, you know, I could see where I could put this together, you know, and tie this in and together. So, you know, Memorial Weekend, of course, we've been celebrating that all my life, and it comes, you know, every year. And, you know, years ago, they used to call it Decoration Day. And when they go down and they decorated the graves, it started during the Civil War, as a matter of fact. It started during the Civil War where they started decorating the graves of the soldiers that died during the Civil War. You know, some of them, I think it started in the South and then went to the North. They decided they should do that. And they would place flowers on the graves. And originally, it was May 30th was always the day. But in 1971, they changed it to be the last Monday in May, the last Monday in May. That's how we got to the where we're doing it, the way we're doing it now. And then along the way, over the years, they started including those that Memorial Day represented, those that died in all of America's wars, no matter what wars they were. They added not just the Civil War. And so we start honoring those that gave their life for you know, our nation, in a sense. Sometimes we use the phrase, you know, that people died for the flag. And I thought about that a lot. I don't think anybody just dies for a flag. If I made a flag today, and I made it today, say, hey, here's the flag. Is anybody going to die for that flag? No, they're not going to die for that flag. People fight for what a flag stands for. It's what it represents. That's the ideals behind it. It's not just a flag. It's not just a piece of cloth. You know, it represents something. It means something. And when I started thinking about the Civil War, think about that. People say, well, we're fighting for our nation. And the Memorial Day, we honor those that died for our nation. When we think about how divided the nation was when the Civil War, both sides would have said that we're fighting for our nation. Different ideals about it, but both sides would have said, you know, we are fighting for our nation, or what we believe that we want our nation to be, or what we believe that our nation is. And I started thinking about our nation today. Listen, we're a divided nation today. We're seeing two sides, you know, forming up the same thing. And there's different ideas about what our nation should be, or even what our nation is, or what our nation becomes. I think there's still some basic principles that are there. The freedom, we talked about the freedom. Yes, we do have the freedom to worship, although it's starting to get chipped away at. All over and even all over the world, in a sense. Freedom of speech, depending on what you have to say. Freedom of choice, depending on what you choose. And the pursuit of happiness was one of our ideals that the founding fathers had placed in this nation, the pursuit of happiness. And so there's a lot of things. We see a lot of those things, those ideals, those things being chipped away. So now we're in a quagmire of it's a multifaceted thing, you know, with our country today. We had a little discussion about it on the National Day of Prayer. We talked about that. And, you know, would I fight for my country? Absolutely. If my country was under attack, I'd fight for my country. Amen. You know, I wouldn't be afraid to do that. And in that sense, I don't think anybody ought to disrespect the flag. But there's a lot of things about my country I'm not very proud about as well at the same time. So it's like I separate the country from the military. I will tell you that in my mind, I separate the country and the military's it's not in a sense, but it is in a sense, two different things. And so we see things are waxing worse and worse, I guess, as the Bible said. And our nation needs prayer. I will say that. Our nation needs prayer. Amen. And with all that being said, you know, we should honor those that gave their life for whatever they believe. I don't know what everybody believed when they went in the service, what they were thinking about when they went in the military. But, you know, once you sign up, now you're Uncle Sam's given you the command, and we got to go, and we got to do, and we were ready. Those of us that didn't, I wasn't in during the war. I was went in right after Vietnam, and listen, there wasn't a lot of praise for the military after Vietnam. You didn't get no bennies and dirty looks, and it was kind of starting to calm down a little bit, I guess, just a couple years after Vietnam and those things. But it wasn't the same, you know, how it was looked at as today, and so everybody had different reasons for what they did. But our nation needs prayer, and we honor those that have died, and they didn't want to die. They were doing all they could do to stay alive, but man, war's a bad thing. It's a vicious, unforgiving circumstance, you know, that you're placed in, and so death is inevitable and a result of war. God didn't call me to be a history teacher. God didn't call me to be a political analyst either. God called me to preach the gospel. My gospel, that's what I do, and that's what I, so that's really what I want to do is, you know, give us, we got the word, you know, the word of God. The word of God is hope. That's the only hope that we have. Politicians aren't going to save us. And this nation, no matter what it was founded on originally, nations don't become great by people. Nations become great by God. And we've kind of, you get a little more of that on the 4th of July, but that's really the reality of it. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, and this is what matters most. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that gave their life. Lord, we do have freedoms that other places don't have and other countries don't have. We're thankful for those that held on to those ideals that we were founded upon. And Lord, we lift our nation up to you now, even as we pray here today for those same things, Lord. I pray this nation would turn back to you. Lord, help us as Christians, those that do bear your name, Lord, to represent you here on earth, that we can point other people to you. And Lord, see them saved. And Lord, that'll be the only salvation that'll be available for us or any other nation. And so I lift that up to you today. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bearing his name. The Bible said there that the name which is above every name, that name of Jesus Christ, listen, he's above every nation. He's above every person, everything that you can come up with. Jesus Christ is above it all. We serve, listen, there's none greater. There's none greater than Christ to be saved, to know him, to be filled by his Holy Spirit. I mean, there's nothing greater than that. And that's you know, there's nothing greater that we can do. Is to preach the gospel, you know, to point people to Christ, to be saved. Oh, we think about a name, you know, just a name. What's in a name? You know, a name doesn't mean anything. It has to do with what is in or what the name represents. You know, the name itself is not what matters, but what it represents, what that name. Same with the flag. It's not the flag. It's what the flag represents. And so, you know, today we're going to go down and have baptisms after this afternoon. And, you know, I was talking to the ones and that were going to be baptized. And I said, listen, you know, the baptism is, it's a symbolic thing. It's not washing away your sins. The blood of Jesus has done that. Baptism is for those that are saved. It's not doing anything, although the Bible commands us as Christians to be baptized. But what it does, it represents something. It's you know, it represents our participation in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we, the old self, was dead, crucified with Christ, and then buried with Christ, and then the old life, and resurrected to new life. And then also, it's a witness, it's a testimony. I told Ted was here then. He's had some medical things. There was something going on with him. Y'all pray for him. But Ted said, I said, look, man, I said, what you're saying is you're saying to the world, you go down there in that water and we're going to go down there and stand along the creek and watch. You're saying to everybody that sees it, listen, I'm a Christian. Now I'm following Jesus. That's what it meant. That's really what it means. It's a witness that I'm going to be following Christ. Boy, what a statement that you make right there. And so then from that point on, when we make a profession in Christ, we're bearing his name. I mean, man, we're ambassadors. The Bible uses that term. I was fortunate enough. I worked in Washington, D.C. for a big bowler company, and we did hospitals and all that, but we also worked in the embassies. Kind of one of the coolest things that ever happened. I got to go to the embassies and go inside, you know, and you have to go in certain ways. Saudi Arabian embassy, man, I've been in the Saudi Arabian embassy. A lot of gold in there. All the fixtures, the bathroom fixtures are gold plated. Gold plated, got to see them, man. You ought to see the price of them things. Go in, man, and I mean, it's security everywhere. Guards with Uzis and all that, man. They walk, and they got used to me coming. They call the bowler company. They say, hey, they want me to come. Daniel Boone, that's who we want. So I'd go down there and go into the Saudi Arabian embassy. I've been in the Russian compound. That's where the Russians live. They're real tight, too, on everything that goes on. They watch you like a hawk. The Russians, just like on TV. Some guy, I'm not kidding. Guy smiled, he had metal teeth, top coat on, walked up, walks in, kind of grinning, speaks no English. He's just checking out what you're doing. Got to go to all the embassies. But those people in America represented their countries. They don't send anybody over there to do that, just anybody. You know, if you're the ambassador to another country from the United States, you represent the United States to them. That's all they may be. You may be the only American they ever saw or see other than on TV. You represent them. And now we represent Christ. And they might never read a Bible, but they're going to read you. Huh? It's what's in a name. We're bearing the name of Christ. And that's it. Once you say you're a Christian, once you put responsibility on yourself. I remember when I really... We moved and we came down here and I said, I'm gonna put pressure on myself. I didn't go around with a neon sign flashing saying, hey, I'm a Christian. But if I got to talk to anybody, my coworkers, the work that I did, I talked to anybody. I told them, I let them know that I was a Christian, you know, and I talked to them about the Lord. Well, now I put pressure on myself. I couldn't fail. Didn't want to fail. I didn't mind letting me down. I let me down many a time. I just didn't want to bring any reproach upon the name of Christ. They looked at me and said, well, he's a Christian. You know, they already know. The world knows you're supposed to act another way. You're supposed to look another way. I met a prisoner one time he was in prison still, but he had gotten saved. He said, I'm going to tell you what, them other prisoners in there aren't saved. They know what you're not supposed to do. And they know what you, and if you mess up, they're going to point it out to you. Boy, I didn't want to do that. So the pressure was on me. Now I didn't want to fail for Christ's sake. I didn't want to fail for Christ's sake. And so, because I was bearing his name. And the Bible says that we are baptized in his name. And so I started thinking about my points. I just got 3 points this morning on what's in a name. What's in a name? Well, number one, it represents. You know, when we think about the Apostle Paul, when he was on the Damascus Road, he was going to persecute the Christians. And, you know, he was a Pharisee. Now, he knew about God, and he knew the Hebrew word of God, the Old Testament. But when Paul was met by Jesus on the Damascus Road, and Jesus spoke to him, and Paul said, what will thou have me to do? So he told him, Jesus told him what to do, and he sent Ananias to go talk to him. And Ananias was a little afraid of Paul because he knew his reputation. Well, he knew what his name meant. Paul's name previously was Saul, and he knew what that meant. He said he knew he'd been persecuting Christians, putting them into jail. Jesus said, listen, I want you to go down and talk to him, though. And this is what Jesus said to Ananias. He said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I said, all right, I'll go. But see, his name had meant one thing, but now it meant, you know, he knew what it was. He didn't know Paul personally, but he knew what that name, who he was, represented. And so he's going to be a chosen vessel. Well, listen, Paul had a he was an apostle. He was going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, so to speak. He had a thing called to, but we're also called. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. The great commission given to the church. You know, we're to bear his name. Where? To anybody in our sphere of contact that we come in contact with. And so here we are. We've been a chosen vessel as well. And then Jesus. You know, John chapter 17 is Jesus. This is the real Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's praying, the Lord praying. What we call the Lord's Prayer was the disciples that asked Jesus, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, okay, when you pray, and he said, you know, say this way, not exactly this way, but these are the outline points. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But if you want to see the Lord praying, look in John chapter 17. That chapter is Jesus praying. And several places along the way, he said this. He said, I have manifest thy name. And he's talking to God the Father. I have manifest thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. And he said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. And then he goes on to say, he talks about this. Why? So that they may glorify God. That's what he said. He said, you know, we're going to bear Jesus' name in this world to glorify God. That's our whole point in doing that. So we represent him on earth. Like I said, we may be the only Bible anybody ever sees. We may be wherever you may be. You may be the only Christian where you work. You're in your friend group. You know, because that's how it usually works. When I got saved, man, most all my friends were not saved, huh? And I had to start, you know, witnessing to them. And of course, you'll see some of them kind of, you know, fade by the way. Not the real ones, but you know what I'm saying. The acquaintances there. And so, a name does several things. It identifies. You know, we got to have names. If you just say, well, we're going to pray for. Who? You know, who are we going to? We got to have a name, right? We got to have something attached to it. It identifies somebody. It signifies something, some things. It encompasses what the person is about, whether it's good or bad. You know, there's reputation, right, that goes along with the name. We look in the Bible, we see some people, they never shake it. Rahab the harlot. Don't we always say Rahab the harlot? You know Rahab the harlot? Well, she was a harlot, but she's not a harlot now, huh? It's just like the Jesus Gets Us commercial I shared with you about on TV, and it shows all these people still in their sin. There's something wrong with that. And listen, Jesus gets us, but he transforms us. He gets us. That's why he went to the cross. He gets us. He knows what's happening, but he doesn't leave us that way. Boy, if we get with Jesus, let me tell you what, you're not going to be Jesus the prostitute or the whatever your name is, the prostitute. You're not going to be the drug addict, the alcoholic, you know, the hopeless person with no hope in their life. Everything changed. But see how Rahab the harlot, we always associate that with her. Simon the leper, he got cured of his leprosy, by the way. Jesus touched and healed him. You know how it attaches to things. And we thinking right off the bat, I throw a name out there, what comes to your mind right away? What if I say Hitler? What are you thinking about? Pretty good guy. He was a really good neighbor. And, that isn't what you think, right? I mean, you know, what do you think about it? Jeffrey Dahmer, those of you that are old enough to remember the news, Jeffrey Dahmer, anybody remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Huh? What do you think about that? Huh? He'd like to have you over for dinner. Huh? Yeah, he'd like to have you over for dinner. They found a bunch of bodies all cut up, poked in the refrigerator when they found that guy. You know, so there's that attached to that. How'd you like your last name to be Hitler or Dahmer? You know, now, what about Judas? Who named their kid Judas after that? We know what Judas, what that meant, right? But then there's other names too. We say the Apostle Paul. When you think about the Apostle Paul, what do you think? What about, any of them? You think about King David. You think about David, you know. Now, David, you could think some negative things about David. You know, David was an adulterer, right? But then he was also a man after God's own heart. He was a kind of a quagmire of things, right? Stephen, think about Stephen, first martyr, stoned to death there. So there's other people that we know in our sphere of people we know. How many, and we know how many people, you know, people that you just say, boy, they're just chronic liars. They lie all the time. You know, you can't believe what they say, right? Somebody, you know, we all know people that they tell you something, you're not real sure if it's true or not. You know, you better check with somebody else. Untrustworthy in that sense. There's people that's gossipers. Like if you want everybody to know something, tell them and everybody will get the message, you know, right? You can do that. Right? Got awful quiet in here on that one. Backstabbers. Or there's other people that, you know, that's honest. If they tell you something, it's true. You know, unless it's just a mistake, it wouldn't be something they do, you know. And that they're dependable people, trustworthy people, people that you can depend on. They say, hey, brother, I'm going to get it done. I'll do that for you. Don't worry about it. I got it taken care of. You know, unless they're dead or real sick, that's going to get done. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Dependable people. And so your name gets attached to things. And family names, you know, people like, you know, you didn't want to, you always worry about ruining your family name, like some of the people I mentioned already. You know, you always want, your parents always wanted you to do right. They wanted you to do right, protecting the family name. And you go back in Jewish history, they were really conscious of that, bringing reproach upon your own name. And so what you are is what you do. And what you do gets attached to your name. I think even some of the names in the English language, the last names came about that way. Smith, what do you think they did for a living? Huh? Carpenter. Huh? You know, I mean, there's all kind of names that whatever they did, they get, you know, it might have got put on there, you know, farmer, you know, there's all those names that had something to do with what you are is what you do. And then that's, you know, what is attached to your name. And now here we are as Christians, we are bearing the name of Christ. And like I said, it just got me over the hump so much when I put responsibility, because I just didn't want to let God down. I didn't want to bring reproach upon his name. I didn't want somebody saying, oh, look, your God doesn't have any power. Look, you can't even get the victory over this, or you can't get the victory over that. Look at you. You're supposed to be a Christian, but you're living just like the world. I didn't want somebody to say that. I didn't want it to bring reproach upon God and just put pressure on myself to do that. I think in pressure in a positive way, it helped me. It helped me struggling with, you know, failure, I guess, the best way to put it. The third commandment, the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We should not take the name of the Lord in vain. How do we take the Lord's name in vain? By using it in a casual way. Using a holy name of God, just the word God, or the holy name of Jesus in a casual way. You know, we have to think, and listen, I want to tell you something about this. You might not know this, and I'm going to help you share this with you. But there's euphemisms that we use, and a euphemism is like a substitute word meant where it wouldn't be proper to use what you really want to say. Words like gosh, that's a euphemism for God. Amen. Gosh darn, that's taking God's name in vain in another way. It's a euphemism for something else you could say that I'm not going to say in that place. Geez, well, it's a euphemism for Jesus, but it's always used in an unholy way. Doggone's another euphemism for something that you shouldn't be saying as well. So sometimes we ignorantly take the name of God in vain. A name, like I said, represents what is behind it also. We were talking about the flag, and I was in the Navy, so all Navy ships got a flag flying off the back. All ships got a flag flying off the back. If they don't have a flag flying, something's up. Something's up. And so when you're at sea, and another ship is coming, of course, you know, modern technology. We got radar and this and that and vocal communication. But we also got somebody with the old-timey binoculars up there on the bridge. And they look and see, and they're looking at the flag of the other ship, and they're looking at ours. And so when we see another flag of another ship, we know, okay, they're friend, foe, or somebody that's neutral. You know, we know what it is. They see our flag. Now, they're not afraid of the flag, but they're afraid of what's behind the flag, if they were the enemy. just one old ship out in the ocean, but they know, well, listen, if we fired upon that ship, then we are really firing upon what stands behind that flag. All the whole military force, even the Marines, the whole military force behind that flag. All the technology, the industry of this country, they're coming against that. The technology, everything that we have, everything that we could bring back. So that's what is the hindrance. That's what the stop is. And so, you know, it's the name, something is behind it. What it stands for, even the name of Jesus, it's what's behind that name. And we're bearing the name of Christ. See, the thing with it's God Almighty, all the power of God. We as Christians, we cannot comprehend it, and the lost certainly can't. It's too great. But all the power, all the force behind that name, we represent that name. So a name reveals. The name of Jesus reveals his attributes and his purpose. I was looking this up, man. Nobody can get concise or agree on. There's at least 198 names or titles for Jesus in the Bible. Somebody said there was 900 and some names or allusions to or names or titles for God in the Bible. I don't know. I didn't go, but I thought about the ones for Jesus. I thought about the bread of life. You know, that means something. You know, it represents that he sustains us. He's all that we need. He can give us life. The water of life, the good shepherd, the solid rock, savior, counselor, physician, the great physician, friends, father, master. You know, man, we can go on and on and on with all the names that represents Jesus. We couldn't exhaust them. We couldn't preach. We could preach on them every Sunday for a year. Wouldn't get done with it. Every one of them. You know, all the names. That's what this means when we say the name of Jesus. And you know, that name, boy, that name does something, doesn't it? Huh? Satan don't like it. Huh? Satan doesn't like that name. Boy, you get in this world, you know, you can go out here. These prayers, I get invited sometimes. I get a letter that if I want to come down to the county meeting or some meeting somewhere, even to why I could go to the state capitol when Eddie was down there. I could go down if I wanted to go to the state capitol and open up the session in prayer. But they give you guidelines. Here's what you can say and here's what you can't say. We don't want to promote like any one religion. So it's got to be a generic, you know, they don't want you, in other words, they don't want you praying in Jesus' name. I mean, this is because this name, you know, see, this is how things go. And so it's that name just, and you know, even in schools and stuff, oh, we're not going to teach this. They'll teach Islam in California, but they won't teach Christianity. It's Christ, man, it's Christ. It represents something there. And so we see that name can stir up, well, it stirs up Satan, but the enemy, you know. And his name reveals his purpose, and we know the purpose. Our purpose on earth is to glorify God, glorify the Father. And I was reading, you know, I looked in the book of Revelation when we get to the last, the last book is Revelation, but when we get in there, there's some letters that were written to the churches. They were actual churches, but they also represented church ages and along the way. And Jesus was writing these words, and he said some things. But he said that to the church at Ephesus, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He said, for my name's sake, everything that it represents I spoke about. But then he went on to say, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They didn't love him like they used to. And then he went on to say, repent of that. Repent along that. So, but he used that my name's sake, what that name means. The church at Pergamos, he said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. He told him that, hold fast my name, but it's really him. It's him. But he used that phrase, my name. At the church at Sardis, he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now, this is a little more serious. It's a little more serious. He said, there's two things that I saw there. One of the things is, he said, I know thy works, and that tells me that the Lord knows. See, he knows. We're all sitting here today, church, right? In the name of Jesus, what we're supposed to be here for. But the Lord knows why we're here. He knows what our motive is, really is. He knows what your need is. He knows all those things he's speaking to. But he knows why we're here. He knows what you're doing. You know, he knows what your works are. He not only knows what your works are, he knows what the motive is behind the works that you do. He knows what those are. I'm talking about to the church now. You know, and he knows your name, and he knows your name more ways than one. He knows who the hypocrites are. He said that, you know, because a name, sometimes a name doesn't represent what it claims that it names represents. It said they had a name that they lived, but he said, but thou art dead. He's talking about spiritual thing there. He's talking about a spiritual life. You have a name that you live spiritually, but you really don't have. You know what it is? They were looking, the outside world looked and said, boy, yeah, man, that church over there, boy, they got it going on. That's a spiritual church. Boy, the people in that church, they just on fire for God. Boy, look what they're doing. Boy, they got this and they got that program and they're doing this for the poor and they're doing all these other things. He said, you got a name out there. He said, but I know thy works. And I know them works, and you're dead. He knew their hearts. He knew they weren't doing anything in his strength. And I'm going to tell you another thing. He wasn't doing anything through them either. He can't. He can't do it. So a man's reputation in the world can be false. Barney Fife tried to tell everybody his nickname was Fast Gun Fife. He is pretty fast. The gun usually went off before it got out of the holster. Fast Gun Fife, that's what he wanted his nickname, but it wasn't real, was it? It wasn't real. So you can have a reputation. He went on to say that there was a few in Sardis. He goes, but there's a few who had not defiled their garments. He said, I know that. He was talking about Sardis when he said, I know that there, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. But he said, there's a few that haven't defiled their garments. He knew that. And then Jesus also talked about blotting a name out of the book of life. Blotting that name out. The church of Philadelphia, he said, I know thy works. Thou hast not denied my name. He took note of that they hadn't denied his name. Philadelphia, the church, that church getting later on in time as far as the representative church there. Those that were saved are bearing the name of Jesus. The question, you know, for us is how are you bearing his name? And then the third thing is it's replaced. It's replaced. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 says some things for us. That Jesus saying this, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. We're going to have written upon us his new name. And then in chapter 2, verse 17, he said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. How about that? We're going to have a new name. The most important name, the name that matters most, the name above every name, is the name of Jesus. Bearing his name. That's it. We represent. The question is, are you bearing his name? Or how? How are you bearing his name? That's the question. Can't bear his name till you have his spirit. When we're saved and the Holy Spirit of God is in us, we have his name. We have his spirit. And it's really him representing himself through us is really how it works when we surrender ourselves to him. He represents his own self through our life. How are you bearing the name of Jesus today? Huh? That's our thought or question for our invitation time as Paul comes to lead us.
Thank you, Pastor. Hymn number 2, Glory to His Name. Let's stand together.